that our students are away at camp. And so there's a number of our students that have that left on Friday afternoon. They're coming back this afternoon. Melissa, my dear wife, left with my two sons on Friday night. So I have been raising my daughter, Amelia, all by myself for the last 48 hours. Thank you. I asked Amelia on Friday, hey, what would you like to do for daddy-daughter weekend? And she said, I want to go over to my friend's house. And so... So that started spectacularly, and so I did that. I said, sure, you can go to your friend's house. And so yesterday, I dropped her off at her friend's house, and a couple hours later, I went to pick her up. And we live off of 73, and I had to drive toward the Renaissance Festival. Thank you. Thank you. You feeling me? I tell you what, I've never prayed so much for Jesus to come back. I just, like, come quickly, Lord Jesus. It took me 40 minutes to get from my house to 2 miles down the road. And during that time, you know, you have a lot of time to think and talk to the Lord. And so when you're stuck in traffic, and I was texting a friend. There was some stuff going on, and it was the weirdest feeling in the world. But I looked in the rearview mirror of the minivan, and I didn't see my daughter. And I thought, I have forgotten her at home. I literally went to turn the van around because my heart sank. I'm like, I left my daughter at home. I'm like, she's in her room, like watching television or playing on her iPad. Like, I've left her at home. And it was a brief second. And then I'm like, oh no, wait a second. She's at her friend's house. And I'm going to pick her up. That's just, I still feel like I should be able to raise children. But in that moment, I forgot where my daughter was. And I just was thinking this morning, do you know that God never for a moment, not for a second, forgets about you? He doesn't, not for a second. Right? So right now, right this very moment, he knows you, he remembers you, and I think he has something good in store for you this morning. So would you pray with me as we open up his word together? Father God, thank you so much for who you are. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you that you are patient with us and that you are loving and kind. You are so, so good to us, God, and we give you thanks. I pray for our students this morning who are away that you would do a good work in their hearts. God, open up their eyes. Help them to see the beauty of Jesus. For those who are far from you, I pray that you would draw them near. For those who have a relationship with you, I pray that you would grow that relationship even sweeter. I pray that you would do a work even now, today, that they would look back upon years from now and say, thank you, Lord, for what you did that weekend. God, I give you thanks for our leaders who are with them. I pray that you would help them to receive the rest that they are in need of this afternoon. But Lord, thank you so much for their willingness to joyfully serve and pour into our students. I give you thanks for them. God, we are grateful and thankful for your word. It's living and active. You use it to change hearts and lives, even this day, and I thank you for that. I pray, Lord, as we open it up together, that your Holy Spirit might be our teacher and our guide. Help us to see what we don't see but need to see. Lord, I pray that you would form and shape our hearts. I pray that you would mold us, stir our affections for you. God, we love you. We thank you so much that you have loved us first. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, if you were with us, we said that the Christian life is not a walk in the park. It's not a stroll through the fields or a walk alongside a babbling brook. The Christian life is a fight. It is a battle and it is war. And so I said last week, my desire was to help prepare you and to prepare me for the fight of your life. And so we talked last week about the source of our strength. Source of our strength is not ourselves. It is outside of ourselves. It is from the Lord. We identified the enemy together. The enemy is Satan. It's not your spouse. your husband or your wife, your son, your daughter, your friends, your colleagues. There is an enemy who has you in his crosshairs. And so we talked about how do we live the Christian life in such a way that we prepare for the battle that we are in. And we began to walk through Ephesians chapter 6 together and looked at really the first six pieces of armor that we have as followers of Christ to fight against the enemy. And then we just talked really practically. We gave an illustration, an example of what this might look like for you and for me on a daily basis. This morning, I want us to go back into Ephesians chapter 6 and talk about the seventh piece of armor that we have at our disposal. It is something that's probably a little bit unexpected. It doesn't always seem like it's something that we pick up and we use and we take it to battle with us. And yet, it probably is the most important thing that you or I could do in the Christian life. This morning, I want us to think together about prayer in the Christian life. I want us to think about the frequency of prayer and the variety of prayer that we read about in Scripture, the persistence in prayer, and the recipient of prayer. In other words, who do we pray for? And so I want us to think together about those ideas, but then I just want us to pray. Right, so I don't want to just talk about what it looks like and make 4 points. I want us to frame it, to think about what does it look like, and then I want us to actually do it. Okay? So we're going to pray at the end of the service. If that frightens you, I don't know what to tell you. But I'm glad you're here. It's going to be okay. Edward Payson, a congregational preacher in the late 1700s, early 1800s, said, prayer is the first thing, the second thing, the third thing necessary to minister. Pray, therefore, my dear brother. Pray, pray, pray. Right, Paul says to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that the words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. So I want us to think together about the frequency of prayer, which Paul says is all the time. Right, all the time. Martin Luther, the great reformer, was often credited with saying, work, work from early until late. In fact, I have so much to do that I shall spend the first 3 hours in prayer. Every time I hear that quote or read that quote, I am convicted. I think to myself, 3 hours? But you have so much to do that you need to spend 3 hours of your day in prayer? I think about my own prayer life, and I start going, oh, man. Like Martin Luther is going, like, I need to start the day in 3 hours of prayer, or I am toast. Well, Paul seems to take it up a notch. He's like, don't just pray 3 hours. Pray all the time. Like, pray always. Praying at all times in the Spirit, he writes to the church at Ephesus. This is how we fight in the Christian life. We fight on our knees. We pray at all times. And so I read that and I thought to myself, well, what does that look like? Like, what does it look like to pray always or to pray at all times? Because when I think about that, my temptation or my thought is like, well, I guess I should kind of clear my calendar, you know, from 6 a.m. to like 9 p.m., and like that's my prayer time. I'm going to pray at all times, and I'm going to close myself off to the world, and that's just going to be my prayer time. I don't think necessarily that's what Paul has in mind. However, I do think that there is an ongoing prayer conversation that we have all the time with the Lord. And so let me talk about what this might look like for you or for me. I was thinking about this last Wednesday. Last Wednesday, God got me up early in the morning like he oftentimes does. I can't sleep in as much as I want to. And so I get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and I look at my clock and I just simply say, Lord, thank you. He has breathed life into me another day. I mean, how cool is that? I just talked to a friend a couple weeks ago on a Monday and I said, how was your day? And he said, I had an okay day today. I said, why just okay? Is it because it's a Monday? And he said, no. He said, one of my employees passed away over the weekend. He's 41 years old and he had a massive heart attack. And I thought to myself, I'm 41 years old. Right, and something tells me that that man probably did not think when he woke up in the morning, this is going to be my last day. So on Wednesday morning, when God breathed life into me at 5 a.m., I just thought, God, thank you. Another day, what a gift. At 6 o'clock on Wednesdays, there's a group of about 8 to 10 guys that meet at Maple Street Biscuit Company at 6 a.m. 6 a.m. And that's early for a lot of folks. So I got in my car at about 5:45, and I pulled out of my parking lot and made my way to the end of the neighborhood and made a right-hand turn on Jim Johnson so I could make my left onto 73. And I started thinking about the guys who might be there that particular morning. I thought about Russ. Russ oftentimes teaches that time. He guides and directs our conversation. And so I prayed for Russ. Russ, I prayed for you. We're going through the book of Revelation on Wednesday morning at 6 a.m. Revelation's tough to figure out at like 5 p.m., but it's really difficult to figure out at 6 a.m. And so I just said, God, thank you for Russ. I pray that you might encourage him, that you might give him wisdom, help him to know what to say and what not to say. Give him the humility to admit if he doesn't know the answer to a question. But Lord, thank you for him. I pray that you would give him what he needs this particular morning. And I thought about the other guys that were going to be there, 7 guys, 8 guys. I didn't know who was going to come, but I thought to myself, these guys have lives. Right, they're maybe married or maybe they have kids and they're working and so they experience stress in life and they worry about things and they wonder if they're going to provide and they ask the question, am I enough? And they have all of these things swirling on in their minds, in their head. And I think to myself, in 15 minutes, I'm going to see them and they're going to be tired. And maybe they're going to be thinking about what they have to do on that particular day. Maybe they're going to be thinking about a difficult meeting they have or a tough decision they have to make. And so I just say, God, I pray that you would give them what they stand in need of this morning. Lord, encourage them, challenge them, sharpen them, breathe hope into them. When I get to Maple Street Biscuit Company at 6 o'clock on a Wednesday morning, they put out free coffee. For anyone who comes between 6 and 7 a.m. They don't serve food until 7, but they give free coffee. Free. It doesn't cost us anything. And I poured myself a cup of coffee, and I thought, God, thank you. What a little gift of your common grace. He just gave me a cup of coffee, and it's good coffee, and I didn't have to pay for it. That particular morning, I had to run home and take a couple of my kids to school, and I knew that I was going to have a difficult conversation with one of my kiddos, because I won't tell you who it was, but she had a difficult Tuesday, and it didn't end well on Tuesday, and I knew that I needed to have a conversation with her, but I was worried. I didn't know how she would receive it. I needed to speak the truth and love to her, but I didn't want to mess it up, right? Because she's my little girl, and I love her, and I don't want to crush her spirit. And so I pray as I'm heading back home, God, I pray that you would give me wisdom to say the right thing. May my words be appropriate for the moment. God, I pray that you would help her to receive what I say and what I speak. When I came into the office, I looked at my calendar and I charted out the things that I needed to do that particular day and that week. And I looked at kind of my month and there's like, I don't know, like 10 or 12 things on that list. I don't know if there was that many, but it seemed like that in my mind's eye. And I start looking at all these things that I need to do, whether it's prep a message for Sunday or prepare for an event or think about Christmas, or I need to finish this video that I should have finished long ago that I haven't finished yet. It's coming. You know who I'm talking to. I'm working on it. It's on my list. And I have all these things that I need to do. And I say, God, I'm not sure exactly what I should do or what I shouldn't do. I just, God, give me wisdom. Would you give me wisdom? Give me wisdom to do the right thing at the right time and be okay with pushing the other stuff aside. Right, an hour and a half later, I'm sitting at my computer and I'm looking out into the parking lot at Charlotte Motor Speedway. It's kind of a cool story how we have office space there, and I'm distracted. My office is windows, and I look out into the parking lot, and there's just a bunch of concrete, and my mind starts to race. And the way that it works for me is I think about something, and I'll chase after this something, and sometimes I'll go online to read an article about that something, and the article that I'm reading reminds me of another something. And so I go do a little bit of research on that something, but then that something reminds me of another something. It's like, have you read the kids' book, If You Give a Mouse a Cookie? Like, that's my brain. Right, Henry Nouwen, the author, once said that his brain or his mind was like monkeys jumping on a banana tree. I do not have his mind, but I can resonate with that illustration. Right, and so in that moment, I'm thinking to myself, I'm thinking this, I'm experiencing this. I'm saying I'm distracted and I'm unproductive. And I don't, at the end of the day, want to go home and go, I should have gotten something done that I didn't get done. I don't, at the end of the day, want to think, James, you were distracted. You wasted time. See, I believe that God cares about how I work. I think he cares about how you work. And so I said, God, would you help me not to be distracted? That particular afternoon, I had a lunch with a local pastor. I didn't know him. I'd never met him before. He's relatively new. And I just thought, God, help me as I'm driving there. Help me to be an encouragement to him. Right, so that's my Wednesday morning. I'm living life, as I'm doing life, all of these things are coming my way. And guess what? You have your own Wednesday. Right, and there's a million things that are going through your mind, or that you're thinking about, or that you're experiencing. And what I'm suggesting to you is, in those moments, in those very moments, you can pray. You can say, God, meet me right now. Give me wisdom. Help me see what I do not see. Meet with me. I think that's what Paul means when he says pray at all times. He says pray at all times, but he says pray at all times in the Spirit. And so I read that and I'm thinking to myself, okay, what does that mean? What does it mean to be praying in the Spirit and not, which I think is the opposite, to be praying in the flesh? Because I read that and I'm not always quite sure. I think my prayers are just kind of the things that I think about or that come to mind, and I offer them up to the Lord. And here it says that I ought to, that I should pray at all times in the Spirit. When I think about that idea, what comes to mind is Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. There's certainly more that can be said about this, but Romans 8, 26 and 27, it's a passage that I've clung to more than one occasion in my life. It says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts and knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Isn't that beautiful? So I don't always know what to pray. I pray for people. I pray for my family. I pray for myself. And my perspective of the world is limited. Right? I am not all-knowing. I don't always understand what God is doing. There are times when I want to be pulled out of a situation when perhaps God wants me to walk through it. There are other times when I want to be delivered from something and God wants to graciously love me through it, or I want to experience something and God wants me to avoid it. Right, so I pray and I ask God for wisdom, and there is hope in knowing that the Spirit of God, God the Spirit, is praying to God the Father on my behalf, and he's praying God's will. Right, isn't this good news for you? Have you ever gotten to a point in life where you didn't know what to pray about? You just didn't know. You were facing something bigger than you, and you needed help. This verse tells me that God the Spirit is praying to God the Father on my behalf, and he's praying the will of God. That's good news for me. And so when Paul says, pray always in the Spirit, I think it's this idea that the Spirit is praying for us. He's leading us, he's guiding us, but the Spirit is interceding to the Father for us. And so Paul says, hey, pray all the time. That's the frequency of prayer. The second thing he says is the variety of prayers. Verse 18 says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. All kinds of prayers and requests. When I read that, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 comes to mind. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 says, first of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people. Right, so think about the variety of prayer, this idea that even Paul talks about to Timothy, but that Paul talks about here in Ephesians chapter 6. He's saying, I want you to pray like all kinds of prayers. Right, think about the conversation that you might have on a daily basis with someone you love. Think about the conversation that you have with your husband or your wife or your son or your daughter or a friend. There's times when I look at Melissa and I just tell her that she's beautiful. Right? I'm like, sweetie, I love you. You're so beautiful. You're gorgeous. Like, I just heap praise on her. There's other times where I call her and I say, hey, what's for dinner? Because I'm hungry and I want to eat. And a lot of times she cooks. And so I say, hey, what are we having? There's other times where I call and I say, hey, I need some. I left that check on the counter. Did you see that? I'm just asking something from her. There's times where I need to confess something to her. When I said, Melissa, when I said that the other day, that was harsh. I shouldn't have said that. Will you forgive me? And so you think about just the dynamics of a relationship and how our conversations with people change all of the time. Well, in some ways, that's the way that it is with the Lord. There's times where our conversation with him changes. When I was a new believer, when I was young in the faith, someone came and taught me the ACTS acronym for prayer, A-C-T-S. There's not a Bible verse that says you need to do it this way. It's just a way that's been helpful for me through the years. And so A stands for adoration. Right? Adoration. Adoration is just speaking back to God who he is. So the psalmist says the Lord is patient and kind, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And so I say, God, thank you for being gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. I'm adoring the God that made me. C is for confession. Right? There are times when we come clean before the Lord. He's not surprised. Right? We don't have any secrets that we're keeping from him, but we're restoring that relationship that we have with him. I think of David in Psalm 32 that says, blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me, for strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. And so C is confession. There's times where we just come clean before the Lord and say, God, you know me. Like, you know my heart. You know the things that I think that I don't share with anyone else. You know the things that I try to hide. Like, we come clean before the Lord. And then S is supplication. This is things that we are praying for as individuals, right? God lays things on our hearts, and we say, hey, I want to pray for my friend. I want to pray for my colleague. I want to pray for my uncle or for my aunt. Like, these are people, and maybe we're praying for others, maybe we're praying for ourselves, and we're making request of the Lord. God delights in answering the prayers of his people. And so this isn't some Christmas wish list that we're sending off to Santa. It's just things that God has placed upon our heart that we're sharing with our Savior, and he already knows them. So pray all the time. Pray all kinds of prayers, and then pray with persistence, all perseverance. Verse 18 says, keep alert with all perseverance. Have you ever started something before that you haven't finished? We started something before that you haven't finished? Have you ever started maybe a project and didn't see it to completion? Have you ever prayed about something strong out of the gates only to kind of tail off? Right? Maybe you put it down in your little prayer journal, or you wrote yourself a little note, or maybe you prayed about it in the moment. Maybe you prayed about it the next day and the next day, but then Thursday got in the way and... You know, some things happened that you didn't see coming and you kind of forgot about it. And then Friday, you're thinking about the weekend. Saturday's a fun day. And all of a sudden that thing that you prayed about, maybe you forgot about, or maybe you prayed about something for a while and you just got to the point where you threw your hands up and went, it kind of is what it is. I mean, I prayed about it for a week. Didn't fix anything. I've been praying for the depression for decades. I'm not going to pray about it anymore. I've been praying for healing for years and years and years, and I'm not going to pray about it anymore. I've been praying that God would change me for a long, long time, but he hasn't. So I'm just not going to pray about it anymore. I think oftentimes we grow weary in our prayers. We start off strong. We pray to the God of the universe to move and act and do great things. But then after a while, and let me tell you, it's usually not decades. It's usually a lot less than that. We just kind of shrug our shoulders and go, hey, this is sort of the way it's going to be. Well, maybe not. Maybe that thing that we stopped praying about, God wants us to start praying about again. Paul says to the church at Ephesus to keep alert with all perseverance. It's like the story that's told in Luke chapter 18 where the woman comes to the unrighteous judge and she's kind of like, you know, like help, help, help. And he's like, no, no, no. And then finally it's like, okay, you can have what you asked for. Jesus told this parable not to tell us that we should badger God, but to remind us how we should pray. Jesus says as much. It says Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. When I read that, I think to myself, well, we should always pray and not lose heart. So be persistent in prayer. The last thing that I want us to think about is the recipients of prayer. Who do we pray for? We pray, according to Paul, for all people. We make supplication for all the saints, right? And so like, in other words, there's no one that is disqualified from your prayer list. I'm not saying that you're going to have a list of every first and last name for the world, but pray for the saints. Like, pray for your brothers and your sisters. Pray for the people that come and gather here on Sunday morning. Pray for their children. Pray for the person that irritates you a little bit and that you've been struggling with relationally. Like, pray for the person that you love and that is a dear friend. Like, pray for your neighbors and your friends. Like, pray for everyone. Sometimes the Lord will bring someone to mind in my own life, and I'll text that person and just say, hey, I just want you to know that I was praying for you this morning. Or maybe I'll send an email and go, hey, I don't know what you're facing or what you're going through, but the Lord brought you to mind, and I just want you to know that I prayed for you. Have you ever had that happen to you before? Like, has the Lord ever brought someone to mind where you, like, maybe hadn't thought about them in a while, or maybe for whatever reason, they just, you're like, oh, I thought about him. I thought about her. Do you ever think maybe God wants you to stop and to pray for them and then tell him? Like, pray for all people. And then Paul says, pray also for me that the gospel would boldly go out. Okay, so this is what Paul says about prayer. He talks about the recipients of prayer, that's all people. He talks about kind of how often we should pray at, you know, all times. He talks about the different ways we should pray, all kinds of prayers. Like everything is fair game. And then in all persistence, don't lose heart, don't quit. And so I want to talk to you about two real practical things that we can do to actually live this out. Because I think sometimes the Sunday talk doesn't always translate to the Monday walk. And so I think to myself when I read stuff like this, well, what does this look like for me and for you on Monday? And so two things. One thing that we can do is as a people, we can pray. So as a church, every Sunday at 9:45, we're just going to open up the cafeteria, and if you would like to pray 15 minutes, 20 minutes, just come and pray. You don't have to sign up. You don't have to commit for the next 40 years. Just if you'd like to come and pray, like big, audacious prayers, then just come. If you miss a week, that's okay. Come back the next week. We'd love to have you. So we're going to do that. We want to pray every Sunday at 9:45 because we believe that what we want to see happen as a church and as a people does not happen unless God moves and acts. Right? We're not smart enough or talented enough or gifted enough to figure it out on our own. And so we need his help. So we're going to pray. But then I thought, wouldn't it be cool if today, right now, if we just prayed? And so I'm going to lead us through a time of prayer. I'm going to ask our worship team to come up, and I'm going to lead you through that ACTS acronym. You can stay in your seats and pray to the Lord. I'll give you an opportunity in a few moments to maybe pray with a person next to you or with a friend. If you feel led to do that. But I want us to first spend time in prayer just bragging on God. God's so good. Right? He's so good. He reveals himself to us in his word. You have experienced him in your life. And so As Wendy plays, I just want us to bow our heads and just spend a few moments giving thanks quietly in your seats to God for who he is. Maybe you think of the passage that I read earlier from Psalms, and you want to give thanks to God for his patience and his kindness and his steadfast love. Whatever it is, but just brag on God for a few moments. Do that now. Maybe there's some things this morning that you brought through those doors that you've been carrying, and God wants you to lay them down at his feet. Maybe there's secrets that you have, or things that you haven't told anyone about, or things in a relationship or a friendship, things that maybe you've said or done or thought, and God knows already, but you've been hanging on to it, you've been holding on to it, and God just wants you to bring that before him and confess. Scripture says that that when we confess our sins to God, that he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So as you just spend the next few moments maybe agreeing with God about that thing in your heart or in your life. All throughout Scripture, there is a call, a command, an invitation to give thanks to God. And so this morning, as the Lord brings to mind things that just fills your heart with gratitude, would you just pause for a moment and give him thanks. Suspect that it's true for each and every person here that there's things that are on your heart and your mind. There's people that you know and love that you care deeply about, and the relationship maybe weighs heavy on you, or there's things in your own life that you're wrestling through or you're struggling with. Maybe it's a relationship or parenting or a friendship or a job or work, whatever it may be. But there's things that where you just want to see God move and act. And so those things that God has placed upon your heart this morning, why don't you bring those before the Lord? If you're here this morning and you're sitting next to a friend or a family member or someone you love and you want to pray for them, then feel the freedom to do that in the next few moments. Father God, we adore you this morning. We thank you for your gift of grace and mercy. Lord, we thank you that you are patient with us, that you are merciful, that you are kind, that you are slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. God, we admit before you our brokenness and our sinfulness. We acknowledge that we as a people oftentimes have fickle hearts, and so we need your help. And so we confess to you, Lord, that we are prone to trust in ourselves, trust in the things that you have given to us, the gifts and not the giver. And so we acknowledge that before you this morning, and we ask that you, by your grace and mercy, might extend forgiveness to us. God, as a people, we have much to be thankful for. You have given us hope, and you have given us life in your Son, Jesus. And so we give you thanks. God, thank you that you have given us the freedom to come this morning and to gather. I thank you, Lord, that you have allowed us to know you and to be known by you. God, thank you that you have sent people into our lives who love us well and care for us and pray for us and are kind to us. Thank you for those relationships and friendships. Thank you for families that you've given to us. Thank you most of all that you have allowed us to be a part of your family. God, we pray, I pray for this church, for this place, Christ Point, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, that you would use us to point other people to Jesus. I pray people in our community down the road and within driving distance who maybe do not have a church home would find this to be a place that they might call home. God, thank you so much for hearing our prayers. Thank you that our prayers matter to you, and that you move and act when you hear the prayers of your people. This morning, we give you thanks. And God, we pray these things in Jesus' name and by the power of your Spirit. Amen. Hey, I want you to know, if you're here this morning, that it is always our joy to pray with you. If you're here this morning and there's ever a time when you want to pray with someone after the service, I want you to know that I certainly am available to do that, one of our elders or someone from the church. If you've ever filled out a connection card, there's a spot on there that has prayer requests. If there's anything that we can be praying about, we would love to hear that. A number of weeks ago, I was struck because I saw just two families out in the hall after the service, and they just were praying together. And I saw that picture, and I just thought, God, I want us to be that kind of place. You know, I want us to be that kind of place where the first temptation isn't to scurry, but to come alongside one another and to pray for them. God hears and answers our prayers. So just please know that we're always available. Thanks.